10 years, 20 movies, 154 unique characters, almost $7 billion in total worldwide box office gross sales. What am I talking about? The MCU, that's right. The Marvel Cinematic Universe. These are just a few facts of one of the most important movie franchises in my history. I don't know about yours. And what's kind of cool is that every movie, all 20 movies, can stand alone by themselves, but they are also part of a bigger, larger story. All 20 movies share what they call the shared universe, where they see every character tell their own story. They are portrayed in their own way, but they are all connected. And the uniqueness of this is that any character at any moment could step into another person's movie and team up, battle together, and have this really cool adventure. And I've been, you know, for the better part of my life, been able to experience most of this in the theater. And it excites me. You can't tell. At the heart of this story, though, is a team. Right? A team of superheroes called the Avengers. Don't worry, this picture is free to use. Right? These characters team up and fight big villains together. They tackle big things. Fight the enemy, they fight alongside each other, and the opportunity for them to come together like this is very unique in the movie industry, at least to me. And when they gather together, this team has a call sign, right? They call, the way that they call or they gather together is assemble, Avengers assemble. They haven't really said it in the movies yet, but in the comic books, that's what they use to gather this team together of these unique individuals with superpowers to fight together. And that is the title of our sermon this morning, Assemble. Now, that would be a cool way to kind of illustrate why we gather together and the importance of being together with this call. Much like our superhero team, there is a reason they gather. There is a reason we gather. For them, it's to fight the bad guys, right, to save the day, to overcome world domination, right, and to work together to save the world. And for us as believers, as Christians, we also can assemble to come together like this. Not so much to fight bad guys or so, but to gather together, to assemble, to worship our God. We read this morning from 1 Chronicles 29, David gathers the assembly together. Right, he says something very important, to praise God for his provision, to begin the work of the temple, to build their church where God is to be worshiped, where God is to be magnified. The Bible says the people gather together from David's call. And so David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. There was a great reason and purpose for the people of God, for the Israelites back then in history, to get together to do this, to honor God for what he has done, all that he has provided, and again, to begin work on this great temple and to worship God. We saw all those great words that were described our God. But this call is very important as the people are summoned together to worship and to praise him. And again, our first point this morning is that we assemble with purpose. We are given purpose to gather together. It's almost like call to arms, a call to gather together to do something, to fight kind of talking about our movie. Right, the Avengers come together to fight. We as believers, as Christians, as the people of God, gather together, we assemble ready to worship. Did you feel called this morning? I don't know if you heard the words of David as Patrick read our call to worship. How was God described? What did it move you to do or to think about or to consider? Or did you feel called? Did you feel summoned to God's great place, into God's presence even today? And the reason we even have a call to worship, this is kind of the history of that, is to, again, call the people to gather them for this momentous occasion. I thought about Sunday worship. You know, is it a momentous occasion for me? Is it something that I look forward to? Do I hope in the gathering of God's people to worship him? And this is a great place to start as we assemble, as we meet together, as we gather together. The intention is to be in this group, You know, a call, a summon is not just an individual, right? You that's more kind of an invitation, kind of just meet up and talk maybe one-on-one. But a call here, an assembly here, is the group of people, right? It's a group of those with one mind, with one focus, with one heart, again, to praise our God. And the purpose here is to get together, to be the community, and really to be set apart from the world. I know a lot of us on Sundays, we could be doing a host of other things rather than being in this room. And the world calls us to maybe, you know, get things done today. You know, you have the day to yourself. It is for you. But we have chosen to be here in the presence of God. And just us by being here, there's an opportunity for us to have purpose, to think about what we should be doing in this place. And so I hope that we haven't just walked in here without this sense of belonging or what to do and just kind of sat down and kind of mindlessly await the end, you know, until the preacher prays and that's it. But I hope that we would be engaged, right? This call, this summon causes us to do something, to be a part of something, to play a role, if you will. And hope that we are engaged, that we praise, that we elevate our God. That is the greatest purpose that we have together. Worship elevates the one we are worshiping, puts God at the forefront of our minds. This is what the call helps us do. And I would say the call to worship, or the summon to worship, refocuses our thoughts. We all come from different places this week. I don't know if you've had a difficult week. Maybe for others it was pretty easy going. Maybe it was painful for some of us. We all come from different walks of life, with varying issues, difficulties, perhaps struggles. I don't know if you would admit that too, that you've had a difficult time this week. But what the call does, it invites us to place our worries, our anxiousness, our struggles at God's feet. And it acknowledges who God is, again, as we read this morning, his control, his presence, his goodness, despite our circumstances, despite what we might be going through. And the call, again, doesn't mean that everything is fixed at all. It doesn't fix the things that we are going through this week. But what it does, it fixes our gaze on the one that matters, right? On the God who will take care of us, who is worthy to be worshiped. And it puts our gaze on the right person, on the right thing. The call ushers us into God's presence as we get together, and gives us all, with different backgrounds, with different places in life, this singular focus to say, I am going to praise God no matter who is sitting next to me, no matter what I'm going through. And again, gives us all one perspective to unify our thoughts, to unify our praise, and to focus it on the one that matters. This is what the call to assemble does. And hope that we think about that as we walk into every service moving forward. Next week, this service will change drastically. There will be a lot of new people here. First and foremost, I hope that this place will always be an opportunity for us to praise and glorify God. But as we walk through it with different people next week, what is our purpose going to be? Are we going to be distracted by those sitting around us who are new or different than us, might be approaching God in a different way? Or are we going to focus in on who God is and helping others also reach that goal? We'll talk about that as well. A few weeks ago, we talked about what service looked like, the different elements of worshiping God, of learning together, as well as praying together. And these elements all call us to participate in those elements, to engage, and to hopefully grow. That is, again, the goal here together as we assemble. And hope that we engage one another, right? This purpose calls us to action. This call calls us to do something about it, to participate together, to praise God in action as the body of Christ. So I hope that we will think about engaging one another as this service changes. And that will give us purpose. That will give us an opportunity to praise God in the best way possible as well. And I hope that we will take this call very seriously too. And that we walk into this service not grudgingly, not haphazardly, but we think about how God might be praised, might be honored even more through us. And we're called, again, with a purpose, with direction, and with action. And I mentioned earlier that we are called to this place of uniqueness, of a place that is very different than what the world is. And I want to read a very familiar verse that helps us understand kind of the attitude that we have and the opportunity that we have to even be changed and transformed. Romans 12 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Again, a great opportunity for all of us to kind of be on the same page in learning to be transformed and desiring to be renewed and in coming to God with a unified thought, a unified opportunity to know him more and to worship him in this way together. And this is a little bit of a reality check for all of us too. You know, no longer are we to be conformed, right, to the world, but walking into the service, are we looking to be renewed? Are we looking to be transformed? And again, that's what this call does, this opportunity to come together, and hope that you would take this task seriously to consider how we are to be changed, to be moved in understanding who God is more as the body of Christ, as one. So as I said earlier, we're going to take a moment kind of in the middle of all these points or this message just to pray. And I want to bring a couple of the prayer points to us this morning in this first slide. And it says, pray for proper perspective in worship. Pray for a clear, united purpose, especially as things change next week. With the opportunity again to worship with new and different people, I hope that we've been praying for that change. Praying for God to still be praised and glorified as things are different. And so would you kind of pair up, maybe in groups of two or three right next to you, and just kind of pray these things. If you don't know each other, go ahead and introduce yourself. No need to share, just kind of jump into prayer. I'll give you guys about a minute and a half each to kind of pray for these things. Lord, we are grateful and thankful to have the space to come together in worshiping you. And God, I think I admit sometimes we walk in and we have a host of things on our minds. We miss sometimes what you're saying to us as you call us, as you summon us as your people to gather together. So Lord, give us perspective, your perspective. Give us your thoughts. Help us to refocus, Lord, if we need it even now. And as we move ahead, Lord, and think about next week, and all the things that might change in this service, Lord, we still want to look to you. We don't want to lose sight of you, God, the one who is worthy to be glorified and praised and honored. And so, Lord, give us hearts that are ready to hear from you. United purposes, Lord, in each one of us, as different as we may be and as different as this service might look, Lord, we want to be focused in on you. So Lord, I pray that your call to us, your summon to worship you, would be prevalent on our hearts for all of us. And I even pray for the youth as well, as they join us next week. As we worship together, Lord, unite our hearts in one accord to honor and praise you. And we look to you, Lord, and seek you and find you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The next 2 points will help shape our purpose in worship. You know, what should we be looking for in this purpose? What should we do? So our second point this morning is to assemble and build. It's a little bit of play on words. You can even call it assemble and assemble if you want as well. But my favorite part of watching these Avengers movies is that they get to team up in battle. And I can see just the creativeness that they have, that all of these characters in their distinct ways, in their unique superpowers, they can come and team up and work together to accomplish a task, to do great things, right? To save the world. And I get really excited to see how the movie makers really like introduce these characters, but also how they interact with one another. That's what really excites me. The way that they bring together their unique ways of fighting, their styles, and they combine them to, again, tackle an issue or to take down a villain. This last movie that was just shown, no spoilers, I promise, a few months ago, right? There was a scene where five or six heroes are trying to take down kind of the main boss. And I just love watching that scene over and over again because they all combine their unique abilities to fight, right? And it takes all of them. Whether they win or not, you have to watch. We don't know. But again, we have this opportunity to see that we ourselves, as believers, are given unique gifts and talents, and the opportunity to assemble and build together this service, to build this church, could be very creative and unique and special in itself too. If you consider our own abilities and strengths to help each other grow, how awesome and amazing and even exciting it might look like to partner with other people, somebody different than us, to accomplish great things for God. Much like our heroes overcome obstacles, they team up, they serve one another, we have the chance also to team up and to work together and to build up the body of Christ in very unique ways. You imagine all the unique possibilities that partnerships have. You know, all the heroes have different abilities and powers and the host of different combinations that you can have in their pairing up. We have that same opportunity as well in this place to do that same thing. In the Bible, Paul, one of the authors, describes this building up from 1 Corinthians 14:26. It says this: "What then, brothers and sisters, whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a revelation, another tongue, or an interpretation. Everything is to be done for building up." Can't say it better than that. We might have different ways of helping build this service. Maybe we can sing, maybe we can teach, maybe we have something to say from God to another brother or sister, an encouragement perhaps. Maybe we are running sound or helping with the visuals or being a welcome team. We all have unique abilities that help shape this service. And as we partner together, we can help sharpen one another. We can help build each other up and create special, unique relationships and opportunities to serve God. My encouragement this morning is for us to practice what we've been given, to help this service, to help this new service that's coming up, but to also look for partnerships we have. If you think about it, we have 150 new people walking into our service next week. That's 150 possible different talents and gifts that we might have, and again, the infinite possibilities to partner with them to create a special creative space for God is very unique, right? No other place has that. God has given us these people to be his people, this space to shape it, right, for him, to glorify him in that way. And I hope that we will be willing to accept that, willing to partner with others to do that. We have such a great chance to work together to build something very, very amazing, very special, and something could be very God-honoring, God-glorifying. And that can be done as we build up the church, as we build up each other as well. And hope that you are excited as I am. Again, there are nearly infinite possibilities to practice our gifts, talents, songs, teachings into this new service that we have. And naturally, again, we have new people with new perspectives and new opportunities. Let's combine our gifts and give us a chance to serve together, right, to help each other, to take great opportunity to build up something for God. Last week, Dan encouraged us to set good examples for our youth. And before they do join us, again, I want to reiterate all the things that he said to pass down the right focus, the right faith to this next generation. How will we do that? How will we walk alongside them? One, I think a great way is just to think about serving alongside them, side by side with youth. Parents of youth, you have a great chance also to serve alongside your children. And that's such a beautiful picture of creating this, again, unique partnership to use our abilities, to use the gifts and talents that God has given to us for his glory. Also, I think one of the goals that we have been talking about as leaders is this chance to have intergenerational relationships, right? The opportunity to have older adults meet with junior hires, collegians with senior adults, right? And this chance to kind of cross the age barriers, to have generational, cross-generational differences that we might have as well. And I hope that we'll take that to heart, that we'd be available to serving in that way, in that capacity. We have a chance to show this world that it can work, as different as we are as people, that this is the church, and it is different, it is set apart, but it's also an example to show others that we are willing to work through our differences. We're actually willing to work with our differences, right? Our different abilities to really glorify and magnify God. To the world, to common sense, it shouldn't work. But I think if we work together, and again, this won't happen overnight, it's gonna take some time to do that, we really have a chance to show others, to show the outside world what it means to live for him, even in thinking differently, even approaching God differently as well. As we move to prayer for this element too, would you think about ways that you can build up the church? Would you look for opportunities to build intergenerational relationships? Maybe God has an opportunity for you that you might meet somebody, a new youth, or somebody new who walks into our service next week. Pray that you would have the boldness to start a relationship in that way, to build each other up, to build discipleship. And then pray that you have a willingness to serve in our new service. We have great opportunities to help, again, build this service and shape it as the people of God together. So would you go ahead and gather in your groups of twos or threes and pray for this point. Father God, we thank you for each of our unique abilities, gifts, even personality traits you've given to each one of us, the opportunity to establish relationships, to build each other up. The opportunities are great. And so Lord, in this chance that we get to incorporate more people into this service, may we be open and available to your leading, to unite us, to build each other up, to even sharpen one another, Lord. We all have, again, different ways that we come to you, Lord, but in our differences, I pray that we would find connection, that we'd find opportunities to disciple, to build up, Lord, as you've called us to do. And may that, Lord, be just a great picture of the body of Christ worshiping you, Lord, in one accord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our last point this morning is that we assemble to love. Assemble to love. When the Avengers get together, there is one thing that they're supposed to do, one mission they're supposed to accomplish, right? Save the world. That's why they get together. That's why they even have these movies, right? The world is in peril, right? You must save it. And I think if we think about it for a little bit, and this took me a little bit of time, but our mission is very similar, right? We are people who should be bringing salvation to the world. And while our heroes have strengths and powers, abilities, and technology to help them do this, we have an even greater power, and that is through Jesus Christ. Right? Because of God's love for us, we have that opportunity to love those, to help them see this salvation, to allow God to transform them through his love. And we boil down to one where we have the gospel, right, to bring to this world. And the love that we have ought to be shared with those even beyond these four walls. But we have a chance in this place to assemble, to love those in this room. And as we practice that love, we can then take it to the world. A few weeks ago, Pastor John talked about this idea that love is the context in which we gather, right? It is for the gospel that we can be in this place to worship God. It is through Jesus Christ and his love for us that we have the chance to be unified, to worship God in this manner. Right? It's love that draws us together as the church to worship the one who loved us first. And this love draws us together. It challenges us to even love those who are difficult to love. We might have differing opinions in the way that we approach God. Some of us may be youthful and energetic, others experienced and thoughtful. But are we willing to love each other for the sake of Christ? And that was really the challenge that we should be thinking about as we get together, as we see the differences in each one of us. And are we willing to even be humble enough to look out for the interests of others rather than ourselves? And it's a challenging and compelling opportunity, but I hope that we will practice this kind of love, this kind of thinking, again, as we embark in a new service, and as we move towards expanding this love even beyond this building. And we assemble, we practice love in very practical ways in this worship service. We sung about God's great gospel message of love this morning. All the songs reflect that message. We hear God's words of truth and love as we hear the sermon. And we practice this love, or we can practice this love, if you are willing to do it, by caring for those around us, no matter how different they are. And I hope, church, that as we gather every morning, that we realize, again, going back to the idea of purpose, that we are people in need of saving ourselves, that we need a Savior to come to our aid. And no one is better than anybody else in this place because of that thinking. If we come together and we understand that everyone needs to be renewed, everyone needs to be transformed and changed for God, then it evens the playing field in our understanding of each other. That it doesn't matter if somebody is 13 or 14 and we might be 40, 45 or older. That there's a chance for us to bring them and help them, usher them into God's presence for that renewal, for the opportunity to know Him. And let's begin to practice God's humble love through Christ as we worship together. And by doing this, we can truly learn to love people who are different from us. And it expands our understanding of love, and we take it to the world. And that's why we gather as well. We gather to learn, to grow, to be transformed, to practice this love, and to take it with us in all those places that we have tomorrow, for the rest of this week, to our coworkers, to our school classmates, to our families. They need God's work of salvation. They need to hear the gospel message in their own lives too. And so we gather together to practice this love that changes the world, that saves the world. I hope that we were able to practice it here. Because if you look around, you know, this is not an example of what the world looks like. And you walk outside, it looks vastly different from the faces that we have. Most of these people in here are familiar to us. But outside, it's very different. But the chance to practice this unique kind of love, this humble love, this love that is transforming and changing for anybody, will, I think, change our hearts to go out into this world and to preach God's great gospel message of love too. Our worship service ought to be a place where we're practicing a love like this, and so that we're ready to tackle the world for tomorrow. Again, we sing His love, we hear His love, we even speak of His love throughout the service. That's no accident every single Sunday. But are we practicing this love both inside this church as well as outside? Are we willing to take care of those around us, to help our brother and sister, to meet somebody new, to help usher them into God's presence? Revelation 5:9 says, "Worthy are you to take the book, to break its seals. For you," this is Jesus, "were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And the Bible, at the end of its story, describes this great picture of what heaven might look like, to worship in its greatest capacity, to worship God with every tribe and tongue and people and nation. How do we get there? How are we comfortable with that? It starts with love. It starts with loving those, again, that are different from us, to having this unified focus in bringing others into loving relationship with God. So again, as we break up into our groups and pray over this, may you pray for humility, to love those that are different within our church, and also pray for boldness, to express that same kind of love to the world. Let's go ahead and break up into your groups and pray for these two elements.